Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks to Linnell for getting us up to speed with the update a couple of minutes ago. Darris Dameron, Ryan Cleary working hard on the production. We appreciate them as always. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on the fan. A little lay of the land here. We still got one more pair of Caps tickets we're giving away. We're going to do that at 5:45, end of the Michael Jenkins segment, right at the top of the hour into 6 o'clock. So make sure you're listening. End of the 5 o'clock, start of the 6 o'clock hours as we give those tickets away. Looking forward to talking to Jinx about Thursday night football. We'll catch up with Elliot Shore Parks in the 6 o'clock hour to go around the league ahead of week 11 in the NFL. I want to figure out what he thinks. Washington, Carolina, winner's going to be in a decent spot, trying to work their way back into the wild card mix. Who's he got in that game? But right now it is time for our Beltway Blitz. Let's get it started. We'll start in baseball because we find out in about an hour and 50 minutes who wins the MVP award in the National League tonight. Juan Soto's a finalist. Bryce Harper's the favorite. Britt Ciroli of The Athletic, who you hear here on The Fan occasionally in the evenings, joins us now. Britt, is there any way Juan Soto can actually win this award?
I don't think so, which is unfortunate because Soto had such a great year. But guys, I think it comes down to a couple different things. One, Harper's got just a little bit better offensive stats. He led the league in slugging, doubles, OPS. Soto, of course, led the league in OBP. They both had batting averages over 300. But Harper and the Phillies were in it in September. They were a team that he largely carried on his back. And as much as people say that shouldn't matter, I think it still does when it's as close as these two guys are. I mean, it's a two-person race. Fernando Tatis Jr. Injuries, I think, really is going to make him a distant third. People say, oh, well, Soto only missed one game. Shouldn't that count for something? Yes. But are we going to penalize Bryce Harper for being hit in the face with a baseball? You know, I think this is going to be Bryce Harper's award to lose.
Yeah, I'm with you on all fronts there, Brett. CBA is interesting. Are they going to have a DH? I mean, it's waiting a really long time influences how teams are going to operate and who they're going to sign, et cetera. What are we hearing? What's the latest?
I think most people expect there's going to be a DH when they work out that new collective bargaining agreement. But guys, they could lock out and everyone expects them, the owners, to lock out the players if they don't reach an agreement December 1st. So they're going to have a lot of time to hammer out these details with that new CBA because the sport is essentially going to be on ice while they figure out what's going on. So I do think you're going to see a lot of rule changes. I think you might see a change to how payroll is handled, certainly how arbitration is handled. A guy like Juan Soto is a good example of maybe we should be paying these players earlier. There's going to be a lot of changes to come. It's going to be a very tumultuous offseason, to say the least.
Lockout, scary word, right? But as long as it's during the offseason and doesn't linger, I got no problem with that. We're not talking about missing playing time, pushing back spring training, anything like that, are we?
No, the early thought, especially in Carlsbad at the GM meetings, a lot of people seem to think that you're not going to miss any time. I think, guys, and I really hope that both of these sides, coming off of a 60-game shortened season last year, coming off of losing revenue, losing payroll, losing some fan interest to some degree that they're still trying to get back, I would hope that they're smart enough to know that they can't have any kind of disruption again when it comes to the actual schedule. So I would hope by February, you know, this is all worked out. And what might be nice is baseball's offseason is usually so boring, like a long, slow drip. we might see more of the NFL, NHL style, where it's just a blitz of all these signings, and it's kind of really fun and entertaining.
Britt, what's the Nationals' plan?
I don't know if they have one.
Mike
Rizzo told me last week that the owners really wanted to wait. The learners really wanted to wait until after the new CBA before they spent big and kind of figured out their plan. And I don't think they're alone in that category. I think a lot of people are expecting some changes to the CBA, and they're going to adapt from there.
Britt, good info. It's been enjoyable listening to you and Ben in the evenings. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Britt.
Be well. There's Britt Ciroli of The Athletic. Let's look at the local hoop scene. 10-3 Wiz are now 10-4. Lost last night. First time, really, you feel like they're kicking themselves because they lost a game against a team they should have beaten. Wes Hall from NBC Sports Washington covers pre and post for the Wizards. He joins us now. They only scored 87. They just couldn't hit shots, Wes. I mean, they were ice cold from outside, huh?
Yeah, guys. I went to sleep last night. I didn't count sheep. Sorry, there's an ambulance passing me right now. I hope that person is safe. Instead of counting sheep, I was counting missed three-pointers. I mean, they went 8-for-42 last night, but, it's one of those things, it's a statistical anomaly for something like that to even happen. And, typically they say shooters shoot and, you find your groove. Last night, they shot themselves out of the game, and it's not even just that. It was really, if you look at the third quarter, they only scored 14 points. That tells you that they just couldn't find their groove coming out of the half, which they had been able to do in the past two games. So, you play with fire long enough, you're eventually going to get burned. Good thing is, tonight's another game, back-to-back situation. They can wipe that off as we get ready to face Miami.
So, Wes, they've had a couple of these, really cold spells from three. And I know the mentality is, shoot your way through it because eventually you'll get hot, et cetera. But I'm almost like, that seems to be a good way to counter them right now, right? Especially without Davis Bertans.
Yeah.
I'm basically going, forget about your pride. Let's get to the foul line. Go to the rack. Try to dunk it on somebody. Maybe it's a charge or two. Maybe you turn it over. But it beats being 6-for-40, which they were at one point, it seems like. I don't know. What are your thoughts there?
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, look at the first half of the last game where you had Daniel Gafford and Montrez pretty much holding, 25 points combined, 11 boards. Like, mm-hmm. They were cooking, especially that dunk that Gafford had. Oh, my gosh, in the first quarter. I was like, oh, he's about to rip the rim off. Like, what is the old saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I wanted to see more of. But again, they abandoned that in the second half, and I think it was costly for them. A footnote on Daniel Gafford: he's got a right thumb situation, so he's questionable for today. But I'll definitely have the an update right before tip off and everything. But I try to tell people, calm down. They're human. There's 82 games in a season. We're not going to lose and panic in anything right now. But we definitely have to not allow bad habits to really solidify.
Wesley, no Dinwiddie tonight, obviously part of his plan coming off of surgery,
yeah.
No back-to-backs. When will that change? I mean, obviously, early season, you don't want to push it all. It makes sense, right call, not questioning it in the slightest. But do you think eventually he'll play some of those back-to-backs?
To me, and now this isn't an official team statement, but just my feelings on it, it's kind of like, you check the all-star break is kind of the checkpoint for a lot of those type of situations, because you don't want to burn a guy out in the front half of the season and then lose him when you really, quote-unquote, need him. So I would assume that they're going to reassess things once we come out of the break in early February. And then, depending on where the record is, we might be in a situation which would be great where we don't have to have him play those back-to-backs, or adversely, we're in a situation where if he can do that, then we can, accept them on the court. So just hold tight till February, and we'll be all good on Spencer Dinwiddie. But I'm just glad that he's playing as well as he has.
Here, here.
9 months after surgery.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's amazing.
Wes, thank you, bro. We appreciate you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on, as always.
We'll be watching tonight, pregame ahead of Wiz and the Heat. Let's talk some football. They're getting ready for Carolina. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Michael, honestly, I just feel bad for you, and I feel bad for the rest of the local media this week. There's just no storylines for you guys to write about. It's sad.
Man, if we'd recorded this a week ago, that would have been true. We were limping towards 2-7 going to Carolina to face P.J. Walker, whatever that is, as quarterback. Like, there was a limited amount of juice, and now there's all the juice. We got Cam Newton. We got a team in Carolina probably needs. You got to beat teams like this at home if you're going to make the playoffs, and they think they're going to make the playoffs now. You got Washington. They've resurrected their season. Give me all the storylines. I'm in.
Are they rebuilding, or are they in a playoff run?
Washington?
Yeah.
Ron Rivera is never rebuilding. I don't know that we'll ever hear Ron Rivera say that he's rebuilding, but they're still much closer to that than they are to playoff run. And I think it all comes down to the quarterback. Look, we could spend 4 hours each day talking about the quarterback, and sometimes we do, but the bottom line is there's enough pieces here that whenever you put the quarterback in place, the expectations can start right away. I mean, people were saying this was an NFC East contender before the season, trendy pick to win, to make it, to the playoffs, to win games in the playoffs because of Fitzpatrick. None of that panned out, but I don't think that was just smoke that was being blown. I think there's enough pieces here that when you get that quarterback, I think the expectations go through the roof immediately. It's just a matter of, as we've all seen, I mean, how many games do you chalk up on the board if they have a really good quarterback that they win? They certainly win in Denver. They certainly beat the Saints. I mean, you can keep this log. It's a different season if they have a quarterback.
Yeah, and you could say that right about just about all the teams searching for one. But this defense finally got their act together. How sustainable is how they played against Tampa, particularly now that they've lost Chase Young?
Well, it was a really good effort by the secondary. Certainly I don't want to diminish the loss of Chase Young, but I thought the most important thing that happened Sunday was the secondary moving and communicating and giving the line time to do what they needed to do. Tom Brady is a smart guy. He finds open receivers, and in past weeks he would have found plenty of them. But the secondary, really, they moved well. They switched well. We saw a lot of great communication between Bobby McCain, Landon Collins, and Cam Curl, who I think remains super underrated. I think he's a really good player. That's what's going to drive this thing. The line can get the job done without Chase Young and Montez Sweat. It really can, but it all depends on holding those receivers in check long enough to make sure it can happen. That's going to be the important thing.
Miguel, I feel like this is going to be like a prehistoric rock fight. I think it's like a 5-4 kind of a game this weekend. I see two limited offenses, gross offenses.
World Series game eight.
Just ineptitude on that side of the football this week against a couple decent defenses potentially. What are your thoughts?
I think I turned in my pick at 20-17. So I guess that's maybe the equivalent of what you're saying there. It's certainly not a high scoring NFL game in 2021. It's definitely a game where the defenses are better than the offenses. And, there's all the hype around Cam Newton. But, look, you can only do so much and you can only install so much on short notice. It was very fun to watch him score the touchdown in Arizona. I think it's completely unreasonable to expect him to dominate like that for a full 60 out there.
Michael Phillips, read his work in the Richmond Times-Dispatch. As always, sir, you are appreciated by this program.
I feel appreciated. Thanks, boys.
See you.
We love you. There's Michael Phillips. We're Grant and Danny. That was your Beltway Blitz. Next, the QB approval rating is back. Now, we did not do this during the bye week. We haven't done it since going into the Denver game. So this is going to be a nice little update. This will be the seventh time we've polled you guys on Taylor Heinicke this season. I've got all the results in front of me. At the end of the year, we're going to put a nice little graph together. We'll see the ebbs and the flows of this season.
Be some volatility in that.
The last time we polled our listening audience on the Taylor Heinicke approval rating was the first time I believe he dipped under 50% in approval. In the history of the Grant and Danny radio program, will he be back open for 50%? Will he have the majority of the fan base's support as the QB1? That is the question. You can call us now, 800-636-1067 to hop in. I'm posting the poll at Grant H. Paulson for you to vote on Twitter. Do you approve or you disapprove of Taylor Heinicke as the starting quarterback of the Washington football team?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan, and it is time for our weekly, throughout the season, QB approval rating poll. Go to Twitter right now, at Grant H. Paulson, to vote. How do you feel about Taylor Heinicke as the WFT QB1? We don't steer you. You kind of do what you want. The only thing I will tell you is I'd prefer it to be based on how he's playing in the right now, this season, the moment, not what you thought about him before the year, or if you haven't watched the games, probably sit this one out. The point is, based on performance, how do you feel about Heinicke as QB1? Some people vote based on long-term, whether or not they think he could be the guy. Some people vote based on right now, this moment, for the rest of this season, if they like him as the starting quarterback. But this, boys and girls, is our QB approval rating. So far.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only got 350 or so votes in since I posted this during the break. But the one strong performance against Tampa Bay is getting Taylor Heinicke right back in the good graces of those of you voting. So this was the trend going into today. And basically we'd done this after almost every single game with the exception of post-Denver. Threw a couple picks in that game. They lost. They couldn't score again. But they went into the bye week. So we kind of let it ride. 91% approval the first time we did this after his first start, a win against the Giants. After the Buffalo game, that number dropped to 84%. After the Atlanta game, he was exceptional in a win. Highest approval rating of his time in office is QB1, Danny, up to 96%.
How about it?
Then he plays and starts against New Orleans, and he struggled. Been his worst game of the season. And the approval rating fell off by 26%. He was down to getting approved by just 70% of those voting at Grant H.
But
Paulson.
Still very positive.
You could take it a 70% approval rating. A lot of presidents would have taken that through the years. Kansas City Chiefs game did not go very well. After that, he rated at 42%. Remember, Washington did not move the ball against the Chiefs like everyone thought they were going to. Now, for the record, that game looks a little better than it did at the time because the Chiefs' defense since, look the numbers up. They've been pretty solid. They've gotten out of the tier of they're the worst defense in the league, that kind of conversation. It wasn't just Washington that they shoved it on. But then finally, the last time we did this, after the Packers game, ran all over Green Bay, 95 rushing yards, missed a lot through the air, though, 46%, up 4%, but still sub-50. So the last two times, Danny, the majority of the fan base has not approved of Taylor Heinicke in office. Right now, 379 votes in at Grant H. Paulson, 67% of people are approving the job of Taylor Heinicke in office.
So let me take you back to October 10th, 10-10 against the New Orleans Saints. He plays poorly. The recent sample, though, two of the previous three games, he played very well, so I approved. This one game is not going to throw me off. Well, let me take it to this week. One good game doesn't throw me off of the previous terrible four games. He had a stretch of four games, three touchdowns, six interceptions, four fumbles, pedestrian yards per attempt, missing things, getting sacked a lot. No, thank you. I voted to disapprove of the job that he's doing. Now, if we have another game this week against Carolina where I feel like he plays well, we can start to change that. But you've got a sample of five games, you're going back five. Four of them have been terrible. One is good. That's not good enough for me to change my vote. So I voted disapprove.
Jake on Twitter just tweeted me at Grant H. Paulson and said, you got to consider he's a backup.
Yep.
He only has 8 or 9 career starts, and he only makes a couple $1 million bucks at most. It's actually less than that. says, I 100% approve of his play. However, I don't approve of the decision-making that has led to him being our starting quarterback, end quote.
You and me both, Jack.
So there's a couple of ways you can view this thing. His point is, well, my expectations were pretty low here. He has exceeded those. I still approve of the way that he's playing. I'm going to disapprove because the recent sample for Taylor Heinicke, the consistency week in and week out, has not been there. But I will be back in the approval side of this thing if he plays well again against Carolina, possibly.
Yeah.
If he can string a couple of strong performances together. Again, I was of the belief that we were about to see Kyle Allen. I still double down on, I still believe Kyle Allen is the best passer on the roster that's healthy right now. I think Taylor Heinicke is the better option as a starting quarterback if he's making plays with his feet, if he's throwing with some anticipation, getting the ball out, not overthinking things. And there were a lot of weeks where that just wasn't the case. But for right now, I'll say disapprove. It's just been the one good game with a lot of meh and bad mixed in. But I liked what I saw against the Bucs. Here's the other side of this for the Gambit DC listener lines for you guys to weigh in. You can tell us how you feel, approve or disapprove of Heinicke. 800-636-1067. How do we think he's going to respond to getting back on track here moving forward? Is it as simple as just looking at the defenses they're going to play, or is there more to it than that? Because he's got a chance to kind of salvage this, right? The Packers game, you got to grade that two different ways. Like, as a playmaker, he was awesome. As a passer, wasn't particularly good. Chiefs, Saints before that, bad. The Broncos game left a lot to be desired. But now you got this game against the Bucs, first really good one since Atlanta, where we say, okay, let's see where he goes now. Panthers defense is number two in the NFL. They're great. We can go through the specifics if you want to, but that's as good a defense as they'll face this year. Next week after that, Seattle on Monday Night Football. He seems to get up for those big stage moments, playing under the lights. He did it in the playoffs. He's done it when he's gotten a chance nationally televised against Pittsburgh last year when Alex Smith led that win. That was the kind of game where going into the game, you said, Alex might actually play okay in this game because he seems to be one of those lights on guys. I feel the same way about Heinicke. He seems to be, how many people are watching? Is this a bigger stage?
Yeah. Do I have family in the crowd? Let's go.
You know what I mean? Let's go play some Aushucks football. But you can move the ball against the Seahawks. I think he'll play well in that game. The Raiders defense is susceptible through the air. You play the Eagles twice. That's as bad and kind of basic a defense as there's been in the league so far this year throwing the football. There's a lot of games to be had coming up.
Yeah, there's some meat on the bone.
Where you could put a little hay in the barn. You got to get through Carolina, though. This is going to be really tough. I think their defense is the best defense Washington's faced this year.
So this is one of those where I don't think there are going to be many opportunities. But when the opportunities are there, .. Right?
You got to hit those.
Yeah, I mean, just you got to try to avoid as many negative plays as possible. And again, I said this to Michael Phillips a moment ago. I do think this is going to be a rock fight when it comes to offense in this one. I think you have two limited passing games. Now, Carolina's got much better weapons right now than does Washington. I mean, that's no slight to anyone on Washington. Carolina's got DJ Moore, who's a stud, and Christian McCaffrey, and among others. But I don't see a lot of downfield, big strike, big chunk type offense, and it's a lot of misdirection and screens and bubbles and smokes and sort of stuff in the flat. If there are plays to be made, they got to be made. I think you're only going to get a handful of opportunities, but they will be there.
It's actually a really smart point because there are games where there's enough that you can miss a few and it's not the end of the world. This is one of those. You got probably five chances at gains of 15 or more through the air.
Mm-hmm.
You better hit on three or four of them.
Yep.
Right? I mean, if you don't, then it's just too hard to go on long drives against this defense.
Avoid the negative.
Dion is in North Carolina. Dion wants to weigh in on Heinicke. Do you approve or disapprove of QB1 Taylor Heinicke right now?
I disapprove of Heinicke, and I apologize, man. This is Darren in North Carolina, man. I'm sorry. I talk a little fast.
All good, dude. No worries.
Some people host afternoon drive shows and do that. It's all good, man. What's up?
There you go.
All good, Munt.
All good, Munt. See, I did it right there.
Danny's joning on himself for talking too fast, and he goes, it's all good, Munt.
All good, Munt. Who's Munt?
I don't know.
Olivia. It's all good, Olivia Munt.
I wish this was Olivia Munt. I've always wanted to talk to her on the phone. Anyway, what's up?
But, no, I'm not too satisfied with Heinicke, man. I just feel like he makes the mistakes that a more proven quarterback would help win games. In regards to maybe like the Green Bay game, especially you know, against the Kansas City game when the defense was just like, you know, I guess non-existent. However, I like what he does at in certain spots. However, you know, he doesn't have the right tools to make the mistakes that he's making. And I feel like if this defense steps up against Carolina, this can be a win because P.J. Walker or Cam Newton, regardless of how many snaps either one of them takes, this defense can come together and win a game if you have St. Juice back. I don't know what his practice status was for today, but I know he didn't practice today. But if you get St. Juice back and he, you know, helps lock down some of those receivers, and then Jamin Davis hopefully has a step-up game where we're like, this was a Jamin Davis game, and you know, Cole Holcomb continues to make plays when he can, then you don't have to worry about the D-line actually having to be like grade A. They can play a good game and contain that quarterback, whoever he is in the pocket.
I like their chances defensively to show really well. I do, because of the quarterbacks on the other side, to your point. I just don't have a lot of fear for Cam Newton throwing the football or for P.J. Walker at this point, an XFL transplant who's been a backup. Now, if I'm Matt Rhule, I would play P.J. Walker. I thought he looked good enough this past week. I understand why he's not playing. They basically told him, don't turn the ball over. He threw a pick and had two other passes that could have been intercepted, and maybe they think Cam won't do that. But I do think he'll give you more throwing the football than Cam at this point. We'll see. I could be very, very wrong. We'll get to watch Cam this weekend. As for Benjamin St. Juice, just an update with the concussion. He was limited in practice today, so he was back on the field.
That's a good sign.
Kendall Fuller, who was a DNP yesterday with the knee, was also limited today. Curtis Samuel didn't practice. I know that's going to be crazy for everybody.
What?
Yeah, dude, trust me. I was shocked, too. I was like, wait, what? Curtis Samuel didn't practice?
Just when you thought you're out of the woods. There's 10,000 miles of woods.
He always practices. So it's so strange.
Yeah.
That he didn't practice
the
today.
Curtis Samuel Sidefield, by the way. How do we get it renamed?
That would be amazing. That would be a great prank, is to paint. Maybe that's too mean. I was going to say just paint on the field the Curtis Samuel Sidefield, like Mike Krzyzewski court. Be a great bit. Ricky Seals-Jones, DNP with the hip. He's not going to play, I don't think. They said he was week to week. But limited today, Sadiq Charles, Sam Cosmi, Kendall Fuller, Antonio Gibson, Brandon Scherff, and Benjamin St. Juice. And then on the injury report, full practice, our guy Terry McLaurin, Samus Reyes at tight end, who could catch his first pass this week, and Danny Johnson, the cornerback. That's your injury report. 800-636-1067 is the number. Talking about quarterback Taylor Heinicke, the approval rating. Are you guys in or out on QB1 Taylor Heinicke right now? We will update the polling next. We do it every single week on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
QB approval time on Grant and Danny. You approving or disapproving of Taylor Heinicke? That's the question at 800-636-1067. And how do you think he responds? How does he build off of a banner performance against Tampa? Wasn't all great. Nobody's sitting here telling you it was perfect, but he played really well in a win. His approval rating was trending down pretty substantially, Danny, from 96% after Atlanta, 70% after New Orleans, 42% after the Chiefs, 46% after the Packers. This is our very formal polling that we do here.
Very scientific, yes.
On Grant and Danny, at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter after each of these games. Right now, with 670 votes in, 68% of you are saying you're approving of Taylor Heinicke. This would be his biggest jump of the year, up 22 percentage points. Because I think a lot of people were starting to go, oh, man, I guess he is a backup.
Yeah, enough
of
this.
I guess he can't do it.
He played well against the defending champs in an upset. That's enough.
Let's go to Jeremiah in Fairfax on the Fan. Jeremiah, you're on G&D. What's up?
Hi, how y'all doing? Great show.
Thank you, buddy.
So I feel like I approve of him, but the reason is because in a lot of these games, he's been having to play from behind, and that kind of limits your offensive game plan and makes you kind of play what they call hero ball. But we saw in Tampa what he can do when the defense does what they're supposed to and gets out to an early lead. They can have like 10 or 11 minute drives and, you know, rely on the run, and Taylor can play the kind of game he wants to, and he'll play like, you know, he should. I think a lot of people forget, too, because of the playoffs last year, he is just an XFL quarterback backup. Like, nobody drafted him in the first round. He's playing amazing for what he's supposed to be. That's just my opinion. But great show, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dude. Appreciate it. So sometimes, yeah, when they're behind and the game plan goes out the window. Other times they're up at halftime against Kansas City and they can't do anything. Other times they're in it against New Orleans and they can't do anything. So, yeah, they were behind against Green Bay and they become one-dimensional. But Denver was a one-score game throughout. So, I mean, I see the point. Yes, is it harder when everyone knows you're throwing, when you have no weapons and you're limited? Yeah, of course it is. But, like, teams come back in this league all the time when they have good quarterbacks. You know? I guess, so partially, yeah, I accept that as an explanation for why sometimes he has struggled. But there's plenty of other times when it's 72 and sunny and guys are open and he can't hit them. That's kind of my counter to that.
Yeah, I think the idea, though, for what he is, he's been amazing. I think this is kind of what I anticipated in some way. I will say that his good is a lot better than I thought his good would be. So, well, let me first step back and agree to that. The Giants' performance was awesome. The Falcons' performance was excellent. This game against Tampa was not on the level of those two, but I put it in the good pile, and it was impressive. So the good, those three starts, is the ceiling, let's say, is higher than maybe I anticipated. I would throw in, it's not a start, so we don't count it on his ledger, but his off-the-bench performance against the Chargers in a four-point loss, I actually thought was really good in week one as well. We're just talking about when we've seen him play. He's played at a very high level four times. I think that's him at his best. I think that's the role I want for him, by the way. He came off the bench. Chargers didn't prepare for him, and he gave them some fits the rest of the way in that game. But the Bills game happened. The Saints game happened. The Chiefs game happened. Yeah. The Packers, the Broncos. So my point would be, this is what a backup is. Like, this is what you anticipate. Sometimes you play really well, and sometimes you play really badly. But his good is better than I thought it was coming in to the Heinicke experience last year. This offseason, this preseason.
That's a great way to put it, Grant.
I got to a point at the end of the preseason where I thought the difference between this guy and Ryan Fitzpatrick is zero. So when people talk about, oh, they lost Ryan Fitzpatrick, that was so damaging, I still don't know if I really buy that.
I don't.
I think Heinicke is every bit, honestly, as good as probably Fitz would have been, or close to it. Fitz probably a better passer. In fact, I would say I would guarantee Fitz is a better passer. But Heinicke does a lot of stuff with his feet that Fitz could not have done.
Mm-hmm.
He's helped them avoid pressures and some sacks and extend drives with scrambles and made plays with his legs. The net of losing Fitz and adding Heinicke, for someone who thinks it was some massive step back, I do not agree with that.
Right, you know how I feel. I mean, I thought they were 6-1, half dozen of the other. You count them in different ways. You know, like Heinicke's 3-2s and Ryan Fitzpatrick's 6-1s. Just he has some strength, but when you average it all together, this was not worth this grand investment as if Ryan Fitzpatrick was the savior somehow.
Let's go to Lavelle in D.C. Hey, Lavelle, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys.
Hey, buddy.
I just want to say I'm with Taylor Heinicke. I like Heinicke. I think that our defense let him down. We missing players like Samuel, Logan Thomas, all of those players we missing to help him out. He not the best quarterback, but he a good quarterback. Our defense was supposed to be one of the best defenses coming into the year. If we had the defense that we supposed to have, we could win a lot of games that could make up for some of the mistakes that he'd be making. He only started like 11 games. We got to give him a chance. He basically, we got us a rookie in here that we trying to bring up. If we give him a little bit of chance, get the defense together, get a couple of more weapons, our running game ain't been good. Antonio Gibson, leg been messed up. He ain't really been putting up no numbers like we've been expecting.
I agree with the first part of that totally, bro. 100%. When you say you're missing a lot and you're asking a lot more of him because of all the injuries,
yep.
Yes, sir. Confirmed.
Correct.
When you say if the defense had done its job, this would be a different season, cosign.
Yep.
Unequivocally, bigger problem has been the defense than what you're getting out of Taylor Heinicke as a backup turn starter. We'll agree to that. I'm right there with you, sir. Mm-hmm. The part I'll stop short of is when we say that he's, you know, the point being, I guess, he's good. Like, he's not the best quarterback, but, well, I mean, there's a lot of metrics we could point to that says he's kind of a back end of the league type starter at this point. And it's not always going to be that your defense can play great. But to the caller's point, when they had a good game against Tampa Bay, they won. When they played the Chargers better than they played much of this season, they gave up way too many third down conversions. But other than that, that day, they were okay. You know, they held them to 20 points. They're right there in that game. They lost the game. But yeah, if they play good defense, you saw it for a half against the Chiefs. They had the lead. They could win a lot of games. It's just not going to work out that way all the time.
Who has the best roster in the NFL right now, sort of top to bottom?
Ooh, I'd have to think about that. Maybe the Rams?
Rams, obviously really good, but a few teams. The Bills have a terrific roster, I think. Swap quarterbacks. Does Taylor Heinicke have the Rams at 7-3 at this point with all
no
the
chance.
Weapons and everything else?
No.
That's kind of the exercise to me, right? Is, of course, a guy's hurt without having all the weapons that you're supposed to have. Not having Logan Thomas and Curtis Samuel at all for Heinicke most of the season, that is a detriment. Any quarterback would feel the pinch there. We're still talking about that dude's open, just hit him for a first down.
I think the Rams with Taylor Heinicke would be 5-4. Through
yeah,
nine.
Yeah, very Goffian, right?
Are they 7-3
They're 7-3
right
and three
now,
having lost two
so
straight.
I need to give you 10. So I would say 6-4, probably. Maybe 5-5, something like that.
To me, honestly, I would say a game over 500 at this point. Or I guess 500, 5-5. Probably.
Yeah, you can't do that with 10
games. Yeah, they don't beat the Colts with Heinicke, probably. I mean, there's a couple games you go back and look and you get specific on it. But my point is, of course, there's some dependence, right? You're not going to be as good without those weapons and offensive linemen hurt, et cetera. Still, though, your eye test comes into play where a guy's wide open, he can't hit him.
Let's finish the Heinicke conversation next. 800-636-1067. You want to weigh in. How's he going to respond to his best game in 6 weeks? Can he play well against this unbelievably talented Panthers defense? What are you expecting from Washington's offense and Scott Turner? Speaking of which, Steve Smith was on the air with Brian Mitchell and J.P. Finley today, the former Panthers wideout who played for Rivera, and he played in an offense that Scott Turner was involved in. He had something to say about Scott Turner that I found really interesting, and he went in on Curtis Samuel. He's not a Curtis Samuel fan, it doesn't sound like. We'll play that audio for you. Plus, as soon as we come back, Antonio Brown could be in trouble again.
Oh, dear.
And you'll never guess what he did that I don't believe any sports figure has gotten in trouble for yet over the last couple of years. But he may have given us another stamp to put down on the bingo card. My guy, Antonio Brown, back in the news. Next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.